Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're focusing on something that's kind of the secret weapon of any great media project: pre-production planning.
Exactly. I mean, before you even think about rolling a camera, all that foundational work, the script, the storyboards, it has to be rock solid.
And that's what we're here to do. We're going to cut through all the noise and really identify the core tools, both hardware and software, that you use to build those crucial documents.
Yeah, this is a deep dive into how technology makes that planning stage, you know, actually efficient.
So let's just do a tiny bit of housekeeping first. When we say tools, we're talking about two things. Hardware is, you know, any physical part of a computer.
Right.
And if that part plugs into your PC, your Mac, we call it a peripheral device. Super simple, but it's important because our first set of tools are all physical.
Which brings us to section one, the essential hardware toolkit. This is what you need to actually create anything.
Okay, so when you think about writing, the hardware seems almost too obvious, right? You need a keyboard to type and a monitor or some kind of display so you can see what you're writing, make sure the layout is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But the sources point to the mouse being more important than we think.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just for clicking around. It's a serious editing tool for cutting, pasting, selecting whole blocks of text when you're on your fifth script revision. It's vital.
But the hardware needs, they sort of shift, don't they? The second you move from just text, like a script, to anything visual.
It's a completely different world. Yeah. Creating detailed storyboards or, you know, visualization diagrams demands a different set of tools.
Which brings up a question I've always had. Why do you always see designers with like two or three monitors? Is one just not enough?
It's all about workflow.
Yeah.
Really is. A designer needs one screen for their main canvas, the thing they're actually working on.
Okay.
But then they need another screen for all their tools, their reference images, their layers. Having it all visible at once, just it radically speeds things up. You're not minimizing windows all day.
Yeah. And for getting ideas into the computer, we move past the mouse and into the world of the graphics tablet.
Indispensable. I mean, a graphics tablet lets a designer use their natural hand movements to draw, and it just replicates that on the screen. It's a huge leap from trying to draw with a mouse.
And that tablet works with a stylus, which has one feature a mouse just can't even touch.
Pressure sensitivity. That's the one. It's the absolute game changer.
So what does that actually mean in practice?
Well, when the stylus touches the tablet, that's like a mouse click. But how hard you press changes the line. Press lightly, you get a fine, thin line. Press harder, you get a thick, bold one.
Ah, I see. So you get all that nuance you'd have with a real pencil or brush.
Exactly. And some high-end touchscreens are now building that tech right into the display itself, which is pretty amazing.
It's also easy to forget that not all hardware is electronic. I mean, a lot of great ideas still start with a pen and paper, right?
Oh, for sure. Pens, pencils, rulers, paper. They're still the fastest way to get a rough sketch or a mind map down on the table.
But those paper assets, they're not much help to the rest of the team if they're just sitting on your desk.
And that's the bridge. You have to get that physical work into a digital space so it can be shared and edited, which is section two, the digitization bridge.
Okay, so we've got these physical documents, mood boards, sketches. We need to get them digital. Two main options here, scanners and cameras. Let's start with the scanner.
A scanner is, you know, purpose-built for this. It turns flat paper into digital files, and the advantages are pretty big.
Like what?
Well, they're automatic, especially the ones with a sheet feeder. You can scan a whole stack of storyboard panels at once, and crucially, you get no shadows, no bad lighting, just a clean, high-resolution image.
So if a scanner is so good for flat documents, when on earth would you choose a digital camera or your smartphone instead?
You use the camera precisely when the thing you're trying to digitize isn't flat, or when it's just way too big for the scanner. It's faster, for sure, but you lose a bit of quality control.
So walk me through that. What kind of documents are we talking about?
The research points to about four main scenarios. First, physical mood boards. You know, the ones with 3D objects stuck to them, like fabric swatches or bottle caps. A scanner can't handle that.
Right, the depth.
Exactly. Second, just capturing physical textures. If you want a digital version of a wood grain or a piece of fabric for a digital mood board. Third, a huge mind map that a whole team made on a giant piece of paper. You just take a picture.
Got it. And the last one?
Storyboards that are pinned up on a wall. You can capture the entire sequence in one shot to share with the team immediately.
That makes perfect sense. So once everything is digital, we are living completely in the world of software.
Which brings us to section three. The role of software applications in pre-production.
And this is where it gets interesting, because there's no single app that does everything. You need a whole toolbox.
That's the key. The industry relies on different categories of software, each designed to do one thing really, really well.
Let's start at the most basic level. Word processing software. Microsoft Word, Google Docs. This is for scripts, right?
Scripts, basic visualization diagrams that are mostly text, yeah. But then you have to ask, if Word is so easy, why do people pay for special screenwriting software, like Final Draft?
That's a great question. Why would they?
It's about standardization. Final Draft and tools like it don't just let you write. They automatically format everything to strict industry standards.
Ah, so you don't have to mess with the layout yourself.
Not at all. And even more important, they manage revision tracking. When a producer needs to know exactly what line changed for budget reasons, that software is non-negotiable.
Okay, moving into the visual side, we have image editing software. This is for your mood boards and your detailed diagrams. We have to talk about the two different image types here.
We do. It's a fundamental split. First, you have raster or bitmap images. Think of a photograph. It's made up of tiny little dots or pixels.
Like Adobe Photoshop.
Exactly. Photoshop, Affinity Photo, they're pixel editors. Perfect for manipulating photos, retouching things, creating really rich visuals for a mood board.
And the second type?
Is vector graphics. These aren't made of pixels. They're made from mathematical equations that define lines and curves. Think Adobe Illustrator or Affinity Designer.
So what's the practical benefit of that?
Scalability. A vector image can be shrunk down to the size of a postage stamp or blown up to the size of a billboard, and it will never, ever get blurry or pixelated.
So for a technical diagram that needs to be resized all the time, vector is the only way to go.
The only way.
All right, next up, desktop publishing, or DTP software. I always think of magazines when I hear that. InDesign, Microsoft Publisher, how does that fit into pre-production?
DTP is huge because it solves the big layout problem you get in a word processor. Weird just wants to flow text down a page. It's linear.
Right. It's hard to place images exactly where you want them.
It's a nightmare. DTP software, though, it gives you total control over the page with grids and guides. You can put anything anywhere with perfect precision.
So if I'm making a digital storyboard with, say, six panels and captions on one page, InDesign would be way better than Word.
Infinitely better. You can design the visual flow exactly how you want. I mean, you could use something like PowerPoint for a simple storyboard, but DTP gives you that professional control.
And that leads us to the super specialized tools. Dedicated applications. These things only do one job.
But they do it incredibly well. For project management, you know, a simple spreadsheet in Excel can be a lifesaver for scheduling. But for specific documents, you get some amazing tools.
Like what? Give us some examples.
Okay, for mind maps, you have software like FreeMind or XMind. They just make building and organizing the map way faster than trying to draw it. But the most advanced tools are for storyboards.
Right, you mentioned FrameForge and Toon Boom Storyboard.
Yes, and these go so far beyond just drawing.
So what's the big advantage of using something like FrameForge instead of, say, just drawing panels in Photoshop?
FrameForge is a pre-visualization tool. It lets you build your scene in a virtual 3D space. You can place virtual cameras with real lenses, check sight lines, plan your shots technically.
I see. So it's not just a picture of the scene. It's more like a technical blueprint for the scene.
That's a perfect way to put it.
So this is a lot of different tools. How do they all come together on a real project?
Okay, that brings us to section four, synthesis. Let's use the example from the source material. A car company is making a short health and safety training video.
Okay.
They need a bunch of pre-production documents. How do they choose their tools?
Well, they need a script. So they could use Microsoft Word. That's the easy choice.
Sure. But since it's a safety critical document with lots of reviews, they should probably use something like Final Draft to track all the changes.
Right. What about the mind map and the mood board?
Here they've got an interesting choice. They could use a dedicated mind map tool, or they could just use something like PowerPoint or Affinity Publisher.
Why would they use PowerPoint?
Because everyone has it and everyone knows how to use it. If speed and familiarity are key, PowerPoint is often the quickest way to arrange images and text for a mood board.
But if they wanted to, you know, heavily edit photos of safety hazards for that mood board, they'd have to start in Photoshop first.
Absolutely. The question is always, are you arranging things or are you manipulating them? For a complex visualization diagram of the factory floor, they're probably using a vector tool like Illustrator.
So it could be printed at any size.
Exactly. And then for the storyboard, if they just need simple sketches, a free tool like Storyboarder is fine. But if they need to prove that a camera angle meets a specific safety rule,
then they need the technical precision of a tool like FrameForge.
You got it. And this whole scenario lets us make that final hardware distinction one last time.
Right, the difference between creation hardware and digitizing hardware.
The designer making that vector diagram is using a keyboard, a display, probably a graphics tablet. They are creating new data.
But if they're adding a photo of an old factory blueprint into that diagram, they're using the scanner or the digital camera.
That's right. That hardware is just for converting something that already exists. Knowing that difference is, like, fundamental to the whole workflow.
This has been a fantastic deep dive. It really shows how important it is to pick the right tool for the right job in pre-production.
Yeah.
It's this combination of specialized apps that makes planning so efficient.
And I think the biggest takeaway here for you, the listener, is just how accessible a lot of this is. The research is clear.
Yeah.
You can make really powerful mind maps, mood boards, and diagrams using software most people already have, like PowerPoint.
You don't need the $1,000 professional suite to get started.
Not at all.
So our final provocative thought for you is this. You probably have powerful pre-production tools on your computer right now. Maybe hidden inside software you only use for slide decks.
Yeah, so challenge yourself. Go explore what the layout and image tools in your existing software can actually do.
That first step toward professional visual planning might just be repurposing a tool you already own.
Go explore and start planning.
Thanks for diving deep with us. We'll see you next time.